Our reading this morning is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 11 to 31. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
So now Janet's going to talk to us about that passage, and then afterwards we're going to have a Holy Communion. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Janet, and we thank you for the gifts you've bestowed on her, and we thank you for her heart for you. Please be with her this morning as she speaks to us. Give her your words. Father, open our ears to hear your word. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Lizette. good to see you all this morning. I hope you've all noticed the painting, which is up on the screen, and Lisette has very kindly printed off a picture. There are some spares at the back. If you'd like to take one, or if you haven't got one, do make sure you take one of those. It's a picture of today's story, the prodigal son, the lost son. Last week, Joe was talking about the lost sheep and the lost coin, and she reminded us that Jesus was speaking when there was all this muttering and grumbling going on. The tax collectors and the scribes were muttering about, who is this Jesus who cares for sinners and outcasts? And Jesus told this story or parable, the prodigal son. It is a really famous story, the prodigal son. It's inspired artists, it's inspired writers. And indeed, in our own culture, we use that word, the prodigal. We use that phrase, killing the fatted calf for somebody. So the title, The Parable of the Prodigal Son. But actually, there are three people in this story. There are two sons, an older son, a younger son, and a father. And if you look at that picture on the screen, you can see three figures clearly. There are two or three other figures in the darkness, probably servants, that you can't really see. I realized as people were coming in that a few people said, oh, I know that picture. It's by Rembrandt. And you get 5 points if you knew that already. So brilliant. It's called Return of the Prodigal by Rembrandt. The actual original is in St. Petersburg in the Hermitage Museum. I've never seen it there. If you have, do let me know. And this is one of the very last paintings that Rembrandt painted in 1669. It's a painting showing mercy. There's light, there's dark in the picture. The prodigal son has returned. So let's have a look now at that picture. Rembrandt used light and darkness. So let's look at the figures where the light is shining. And the light is shining on the left of the picture. There's an elderly man. That is the father on the left, wearing red, a sign of wealth, wonderfully dressed. So let's look at that father on the left. His face is amazing. He is showing fatherly love. His arms are stretched out, embracing his younger son. The father in the story represents God, our Father. Look at the care, look at his love, his mercy. It's a very tender portrait. So who is he embracing? And in the bottom left of the picture is the younger son, the prodigal son. He looks emaciated and ragged and worn and tired. He's leaning his head against his father's breast. He's actually bald. Look at his feet, bare feet, the sandals just falling off his feet, his clothes all ragged. And then look at the father's hands. Rembrandt actually drew the two hands slightly differently. The father's left hand, resting on the son's shoulder, is drawn slightly larger and more masculine. And the right hand, on the left of the picture, his right hand looks a bit more soft and feminine and seems to be representing the best of a parent, the father, the mother, the masculine, the feminine, tenderness for a son that was lost. God the Father, like the best ever parent, loving, forgiving. And that son receiving from the Father. He's on his knees, literally on his knees. I find it interesting it was the younger son, not the older son, that rebelled. I don't know how many of you have got children, but often the second one can be more challenging, shall we say, than the first one. In the background, over on the right, you can just make out the elder brother. And on the right of the picture, there's the older son. He's dressed in red, but again, fairly wealthy. But look at his hands. His hands are crossed, very defensive. He is annoyed. And that's the way Rembrandt has drawn him, resentful, resentful of this picture of mercy, this picture of grace, this picture of welcome to the son that was lost but now is found. And yet that older brother looks unmoved by it all. Let's have a look at the story as Brenda has just read it. It begins, Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger son said, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. How often does sin begin with being very self-confident so that I am in charge, I want to run my own life, I want money, I want independence, I want my rights? And yet the father doesn't beat him or tell him off or disinherit him. He lets him go. God lets us go our own way. We have free will to make those choices. So reading on, not long after that, the younger son got together all he had. He set out for a distant country and he squandered his wealth in wild living. Can make up yourself what you think that meant. Sin deceives us. We think money is everything. If I only had that money, I'd be all right. It can buy me happiness. But he's left with nothing at all. All those fake friends desert him. We can squander money. We can also squander our gifts. And then, on top of losing all his money, famine comes, and he's forced to work with pigs. And for a Jew, that is a particularly forbidden, unclean animal to work with. So that double disaster forces him, verse 17, to his senses. He comes to his senses and says, oh, how many of my father's servants have food to spare, and yet I'm starving to death. I'll set out, I'll go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. So what is it that brings us to our senses? Often it's problems, it's troubles, times when we think, why, what's it all about? But his recovery begins as he comes to his senses, as he turns round and as he goes home. So he got up, verse 20, and went to his father. I think the second half of verse 20 is the loveliest verse ever. And I'm going to suggest that during Lent we spend time meditating on this parable, looking at the picture and just remembering the mercy of God. Verse 20, the second half. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The father was looking out for him. Even from a long way off, he recognized his younger son. He was filled with compassion, not rage or anger, and he runs. Now, in those days, maybe a bit like these days, it would be a bit undignified for a fairly wealthy, senior, older farmer wearing very long robes to gather up his robes and run. He didn't mind about that loss of dignity. He ran. Just those words. His father ran to his son. God runs to meet us and then embraces us. But he's covered in dirt. He probably smells from mucking out with the pigs. And yet the father hugs him and embraces him. God is looking for us to come back. No matter what you have done, God loves you. He will welcome you back. And it wasn't a grudging, oh, well, he's home again. It was a very physical act. Again, look at that painting. He hugs him. He embraces you. The son starts his speech that he's prepared. He tries to apologize and starts saying, I'm not worthy. But that speech is just cut short. The father calls, bring him a robe, bring him a ring, bring him sandals. They're all symbols of honor and authority. Because only a free man would wear shoes or sandals, not a slave. And as you look at that painting, he needs robes and sandals anew. And then they kill the fattened calf, the special calf they've been keeping for a celebration or a feast. The father says, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of man was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. The lost son became found. His status changed. The joy when people come back to God, the celebration and cheering. If you've ever been here on a Sunday when we do adult baptisms, there is so much applause and excitement when people come back to God. Joe last week talked about having a party with prostitutes. I only heard half of what she said last week because I was dealing with the gas man. But I did hear her talk about enjoying a party with prostitutes. There is celebration when the son comes back. There is so much joy and celebration in heaven. But people are not forced to return to God. They can choose to do so. The younger son, it was his free will. He admitted his need. He turned around and he came back to his father. Thank you, Arnie. And it's that same process. He admitted his need, A, if you like. B, he believed he was going to need to turn around. And then C, he came back, he confessed his sins. As simple as A, B, and C. Admitting we need God, believing him, coming back. And during communion, again, that chance to come back to God. And do come and chat to me afterwards if you want to talk further and say, yes, I want to come back to God. But let's finish by just looking at that older brother at the side. He's rather unhappy. You can see in the picture, he's completely untouched by this reunion. In verse 25, the elder son is out in the fields, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Why did he stay outside? Why didn't he just go inside to investigate? I don't know. He became angry. He refused to go inside. Look at how he treats his father. His father had to go out and plead with him. And then, very resentfully, he says, look, all these years I've been slaving for you. I've never disobeyed your orders. He's angry. He's jealous. He's cross. He's unforgiving. He's envious. The father reasons with him. But the older son tries to say, I'm morally superior. I have been slaving for you. When this son comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. It's always interesting when people say, this son of yours, rather than, it was my brother who's come home. And yet God speaks tenderly to him, and he responds patiently and kindly. I'm afraid I missed off the last verse, verse 31. My son, the father said, you are always with me. Everything I have is yours. And then the next verse, but we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So it was necessary to celebrate. He was dead, but now he was alive. He was lost, but now he is found. And the story finishes, and we don't know what happens. Did the older brother stay in a huff? Did he go inside? We don't know. So he represents those self-righteous Pharisees and scribes who looked down on all those outcasts hanging around Jesus. He represents people who think they are better than others and they don't deserve the free grace and mercy of God. They say God shouldn't be so generous with them. They mutter, they grumble in the background. The parallel in the early church was when the Gentiles came to faith, some of the Jews found it really hard to accept them, hard to celebrate. Look at the stories in Acts. It's easy to say I'm being loyal to God, but actually, what about God's grace? Beware of people who are very religious, who think I'm only acceptable to God because I do everything right. They don't know God's mercy and grace. Yesterday morning in my quiet time, I came across this verse from Romans 2, which spoke to me. Romans 2, verse 3. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? Don't despise God's patience, his kindness, his forbearance, his grace. This painting by Rembrandt, look up Return of the Prodigal, was studied for hours and days by a Dutch priest called Henri Nguyen, who ended up writing a whole book just on this painting. And he said both the sons needed healing and forgiveness. They both needed to come home. They both needed that embrace of a loving, forgiven father. And sometimes the hardest conversion is not the prodigal son, it's the one who stayed home, who thought, I'm okay. So, do we call it the parable of the prodigal son or the lost sons? Let's spend this Lent, this period of the next 40 days and 40 nights, not counting Sundays, taking us up to Easter, the period of Lent. And let's think about the grace of God, God the Father, the God who runs to us, the God who looks out for us, the God who embraces us, the God who kisses us, the God who reasons with us lovingly, the God who longs to celebrate. God loves you.